Being this Father's Day,
we wanted to do something a little special for the dads. The dads, you fathers, you want to come forward? You guys come forward. Yeah, just come forward. All you dads, I see you out there. Can't hide. I see you. Come on up. We're not going to bite you. We're not going to do anything bad to you. Jenny and Alan has a little something special for you from the church. And come on, be all right. Gather around, guys. Come on, gather around. I want to just have a special word of prayer here for all the men of this church. And ladies, you need to be looking at these guys because they need your help. You know what I'm saying? And let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we humbly come before your precious throne. We stand before you, Father. Father of all fathers. You're the one who made us fathers, and we praise you for that, Father. Father, I just ask a special blessing upon each and every father here that, Father, your love, your guidance, your hand, and your grace would be upon them, your mercy, your wisdom, to know that when correction comes, Father, it's from you because you love us. Father, I just ask a special blessing upon these men. Father, they can be leaders of this church. Father, you would lead them and guide them in the way that they need to go. And Father, they would be awesome, powerful, strong men, spiritual men, righteous in your sight. Father, we just ask you in your precious name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, bring these men before you, Father. You bless them. Just bless them, Father. Bless them in your preciousness and all that you are. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. Give the men a hand this morning. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Danny's got something for you there real quick. Cool. Cool. Yes, kids. Now the kids can go, but they want to go to the conference room because they got another little something going on in the conference room, all right? All right? Cool. I always ask if you guys have a good week. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, right? Huh? So I'm not going to ask today. No good week today. This is Father's Day. Interestingly enough, Julie's not here. She went to actually plan to go to her uncle's funeral, so she's not here. So last week she said, I need to have a message and sermon title and some scriptures by last week, okay, Les? By last week, right, Matt? By last week, okay? So miracles still do happen. I had something. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. The Lord gave me something. Like, praise the Lord. So with all that being said, I gave her, anybody look at the bulletin? It says, life happens. And I did a devotion last week, and I heard that from a woman, and she said, life happens. But what really hit me, a lot of things going on this week. My father passed away 2 years ago, the 8th. I still got a Father's Day card I was going to give him. Wasn't able to. Then, the 10th, which had been Monday, 1:30 in the morning, I get a phone call. My youngest son, Nathaniel, and his wife, Lana, had a little baby. Huh? Had a little baby boy. Little boy. Logan, they named him. 9 pounds, 11 ounces. 21 3/4 inches long. Inch and a half long hair. I mean, he needs a haircut. He's just got lots and lots of hair. And I thought, it was just cool. But when you, as a dad, as a grandpa, hold that boy, that little baby, that is a legacy. And I wanted to talk about that this morning. As parents, as dads, we have a legacy. I didn't want anything to be just for the men, for sure. This kind of fits right in with the ladies, too. I want to talk in Philippians chapter 2. It's in there. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 2. We're going to look at some things. But it's just a lot of things goes on in your life that you look at. And I've messed up as a dad a lot. Okay, I admit that. Messed up as a grandpa. I'm better at being a grandpa, I think, than I was a dad. You know what I'm saying? Because I got time to think about it and know some things. You know what I mean? I learned some things. I'm not quite as heavy-handed as I was maybe with my own kids. You know what I mean? I guess that way. I don't get angry as easy. Well, sometimes. You know what I mean? You put up with the kids a little better, so it works out better for them. And I'm able to then hopefully pass on some wisdom to my kids. You know what I'm saying? saying, that they understand some things that maybe I've learned. You know? But in Philippians chapter 2, there's a lot of stuff here to be covered, but I guess I go back to my dad. When my mother passed away, it'd be 18 years ago in August, and we had a headstone for her. It's really big. It's got, my dad and I wrote some stuff on the back of it. My dad wanted some description of my mom on the back of that stone. Okay, so on the front of the stone, that is just their birth dates and the day they died and the day they were married. But there's nothing on that stone for my dad. So my brothers and I have been talking about it, maybe putting something, another stone somehow. And you think, what do you put on? The question comes to me, what will your tombstone say? What will it say? If I died today, what would my tombstone say? Eli's a real idiot. What would it say? What legacy have you left behind? I think Les was doing devotions there. We've been talking about this, and the one to put on that tombstone, maybe he was a friend of God. I think that'd be really good. I think also he was a friend to all and a friend to God. That'd be pretty cool. That came to me. Thank you, Les. That came to me in new devotions. So, with all that being said, when you think about it, your life, all that you've done, everything that you've accomplished in your life, what does it really mean? What are people, what are your children, what are they going to remember you by? What are they going to remember you? You know, it's interesting. When you look back over your life, there's highlights of your life. You don't per se remember all the bad stuff, because there's a lot of bad stuff in our life, right? A lot of bad things happen. But we remember the good times we spent with family. Isn't that cool? Those are memories. In Philippians chapter 2, I was asked a question. And do you really like people to quiz you on Bible stuff? No! Because you got all the answers? No! But they ask you these theologically technical questions. Really? Really? But it's good, because then you learn some things, and you learn from your experiences of it. You learn by looking and studying on it. Just some things that goes on. And Philippians 2 really hit me hard here, because Philippians 2 and verses 12 and 13, there's a lot of stuff going on here. And I kind of decided, I wasn't going to, but after Les read his devotion, I kind of decided that I really need to start sooner. And I was going to read it out of Amplified, because I really love this. But I want to read it to you. Everybody's seen The Message, Eugene Peterson. He does in modern language. Sometimes he misses some things, I think, sometimes. And sometimes it brings out a little more to us, I think. And I want to read you this. I'll start in verse 1. I'm going to read you this. I'm going to read down through, verses 14, 16 there somewhere. I'll read you from the Amplified. This is kind of, just listen to this. It says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, anything, if His love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. He says, do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. And I thought, you know, that kind of holds true as a dad, as moms, as parents, as people. Right? And verse 5 says, think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of Himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of Himself that He had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, He set aside the privilege of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. Having become human, He stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, He lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient existence. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow and worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. Pretty awesome, isn't it? It gets better. What I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've been doing from the beginning. When I was living among you, you lived in responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you. God Himself, willing and working at what will give Him the most pleasure. Huh? Do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering. No second guessing allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted. A breath of fresh air. A breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Wow. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night, so I'll have good cause to be proud of you on the day that Christ returns. You'll be living proof that I didn't do all this work for nothing. Isn't that something? Huh? Be a light in a polluted, squalid society. Anybody watch the news today? Wow. We live in a society, don't we? Huh? We live in some junk, don't we? Yes, we do. And I guess when I read that, I thought, you know, as a dad, you have a really large responsibility to your children. I don't think men realize, do you understand that God made man first? Why? Because God did. God made man first. And what's interesting about that, He gave man dominion over the whole earth. You know, Adam was complete. He was complete. Isn't that interesting? He was complete. Adam didn't go to God and say, God, I need a wife. He didn't know what a wife was. But God told Adam, He said, it's not good. It's not good that you're alone. I want to make you a helpmate. Huh? This is a lesson. This is a life lesson. Life lesson. If you're not complete before you meet someone to marry him, they're not going to make you complete. If you marry, I've been dealing with some people, and my spouse doesn't make me happy. No, they won't. I'm dealing with a young guy right now. He is not happy with anything. And he got married, and now he has a child, and now he's starting to get to this, I'm not happy. What are you going to do? You're a dad. You're a man. You're going to stand up and be a man. You know, you're going to have to step up and be a man. You're not a man because you have a wife and a child. You're a man because of what you do. You're a man. That's what you got to do. You got to man it up. You got to put flesh on that thing. You got to be a man. It's hard for me to deal with a guy like that because I don't know what he's going to do. You know what I mean? But interestingly enough, you have to be complete before you meet someone. Ladies, young gentlemen, when you're complete, then that will enhance you. And that will strengthen you. And the two of you together will be an awesome powerhouse for the Lord. Huh? Awesome. So let's get back to the dad. Let's go back to the question I was asked this week. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, I was asked this question. Verse 12, and I'm going to read this from him. Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestion, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I'm absent, work out your own salvation. Really? You mean I got to work at this thing? Your salvation was paid for on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He died on that cross, paid for your salvation. You're bought and paid for with a price. You're saved. Woo! You believe in Him, you're saved. Why does it say work it out? Well, I went to the Greek and started looking this up a little bit. This Greek word means to continually work at being something, at bringing something to fulfillment or completion. It refers to the believer's responsibility for active pursuit of obedience and the process of sanctification. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a personal, very personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't know that. You're the only one that knows that, right? Do you have an intimate, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't know, Matt. What are you asking me? I'm asking you that you can go to Him with any problem you have. I'm asking you that He can talk to Him any time of the night or day. I'm asking you that you believe that He can do what He's going to do. I'm asking you, do you trust Him explicitly with your life? Wow. Some days I do. Some days I don't. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Because some things you think, I laugh because I don't want to pick on my brother Tim, but I laugh because I was him. I was him. I never looked that good, Tim, but I mean, I was him. You know what I'm saying? I was that guy that didn't do nothing. You didn't see me get up and do nothing. How did I get up here? What's God doing? He's crazy, right? He has to be. You wouldn't take a dirty, scum-sucking dog like me, right? Pathetic as I am. And then I realized something. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about Him. And when you work at this salvation, you put feet to this salvation. You work this thing. You're a glimpse. What does it say? Be a light. Be a glimpse of God, the living God, to those out there and in here. Isn't that cool? That's not something just a dad can do. That's something a mom can do. That's something a teenager can do. That's something a kid can do. Show God to others. Isn't that cool? Working it out. Listen to this. Working out our own salvation implies work it out. Flesh out the details of obedience. See it through. Experience it. Live it openly. You have been born again. You have extended a new life, and it's called Christianity. Now carry out that new life with a spirit of fear and trembling, a sensitive heart, and a deep desire not to miss God's direction. And that's the next part of this verse. It says you to work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling? Do you have any fear of God? That's not what it's talking about. It says fear, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. He's the one that gives me my next breath. Without Him, I ain't got it. He's the one that gives me my next heartbeat. Without Him, I ain't got it. So am I afraid He's going to, if I do something wrong, that's you. That's not our God. This word for fear and trembling here is you're afraid not being able to listen to what He's got to tell you to do and doing it. Oh boy. This is where we get in trouble, Tim. This is where we get in trouble. Because then we think, you want me to do what? Are you crazy? You're crazy! You're flat crazy! You ever say that to God? Huh? And He's up there going, I know. I know. You're going to love it. Huh? And here I am. An idiot. Praising the Lord. What's wrong with that? Huh? Wow. When we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, we're afraid we might miss His call. When you pass somebody and the Lord says, you ought to say hi to them. How you doing? And they look at you like, boy, you're crazy. Huh? And you're like, I know. Isn't that great? Huh? You know what I'm saying? I have that. I fear that. I fear that sometimes I get so busy with life, work, and everything that I miss opportunities. You know what I'm saying? Because God makes opportunities for you. And like I told you last week, that woman come walking out through that mud. It's mud. I mean, this is mud. With a little boy needing help. And I'm thinking, pretty desperate, right? To do that, to come out there. And, I mean, you know, pretty desperate. That was the divine appointment that God made for me. He makes divine appointments for you. We just have to be open and sensitive to what He tells us, right? Okay. So, I'm gonna work out my salvation. I'm really tired. I didn't get much sleep. I worked a lot last week. So I'm not doing my own strength, am I? Let's go to that next verse. Let's take a look at this. Verse 13. Not in your own strength. Whoa. Really? For it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing, creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for His good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. Isn't that cool? You know what? I'm really tired. See, I yawn or play else. See, up here, you guys are tired too, so everybody yawns. Like, I ain't got to worry about being tired. I ain't got to worry about it. Because where do I get my strength from? Him. Isn't that cool? Isn't that exciting? Huh? So while I'm walking through this life, trying to listen to what God has to tell me, trying to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, where He wants me to go, what He wants me to do, what He wants me to say. Huh? And He puts me in a situation I don't like. I don't like it. You know, I read something this week. How did it go? It says, you know, life is like a grindstone. Those of us who have been around a while, it grinds you, doesn't it? It grinds you down. But that grindstone of life either will sharpen you or destroy you. And it shows you what you're made of. Wow. Huh? That's not biblical. That's just something somebody said. They wrote this little saying down. I read it. Huh? Life does sharpen you. And you know what's really cool? I'm not doing it by myself. I got help. I got ultimate power. I got the ultimate power. I got the ultimate authority. I got God on my side. Man, He's not my co-pilot. He's the driver. If God's your co-pilot, you better change places because you got it screwed up. He's not your co-pilot. He's God. He created you. He made you. The awesomeness that you are. A child of the Almighty God. A son, a daughter of God. Woo! You've got royal blood flowing through your veins. You know that? You know how impressed God is with you? He's impressed with you. He wants to use you. He's so impressed with you. He said, I know you can do it. Tim, I know you can do it. Huh? It may take a boop to get you going. Huh? God has a plan for you. I don't know what it is. Some days I wonder, what are you doing? You ever wonder that? What are you doing? Huh? And then you hold a little newborn baby in your hand and you think, wow. You know, God trusts these parents enough to give them a child. He loans it to them. God has loaned that child to them. And as a legacy, He's loaned it to me. That someday, something, I can do something. I can be a light. I can be an instrument. I can be a teacher. I can be something to that little life. Isn't that something? God loves you enough that He gives you some responsibilities with your children, with others. Isn't that cool? He loves you that much. And He trusts you. Wow. He don't know me. You don't want to trust him with me. You don't know me. Is that what you're thinking? Huh? Well, in Sunday school today, we were talking about Samuel when he anointed King David. And God said, don't look at that tall, statured guy. I look at the heart. God knows your heart. Isn't that cool? And he knows you are capable of some pretty amazing things. And he has some amazing things planned for you to do. And you say, man, I don't know. I'm pretty messed up. I've done some bad things in my life. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. You know them bad things that you messed up? God uses our brokenness for his glory. Isn't that cool? And when we read there in Philippians, the first part, when the Lord Jesus Christ, in some version, said he poured himself out as dads, as parents, as grandfathers, as people, we have to pour ourselves out to help others. We pour ourselves out. What do you think? And this sermon, when I planned it last week, went a little different direction. Because I wanted you to know that this relies on your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How important. You could come here every Sunday and listen to Les, and listen to Matt, and listen to myself preach a sermon every Sunday. And go home and do absolutely nothing with it. Don't look at your Bible. Don't pray. Don't talk to God. Nothing. Come back every Sunday. I wouldn't know any difference. You would. I don't know. How important is it for us to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? I found a verse. I've been looking at these verses for a long time, back in Ezekiel. I've been looking at this and looking at this and studying this and looking at this. And I'm thinking, you know, our God is a God of love. Our God is a God of grace. Our God is a God of mercy. Because when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I am covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God the Father looks at me, He doesn't see the pathetic person that I am. He does not see how bad I am. He does not see the garbage that I am. He sees His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He does the same for you. Isn't that cool? Ezekiel chapter 14. There's some scriptures here. I debated on whether to even do it today, but I'm going to because I think the Lord's led me that way and that's where we're going to go. And unfortunately, when He takes me to a place I don't want to go, I go there, try to go there. Try to be obedient to that. Sometimes I don't like it. But that's where we're going to go. Ezekiel chapter 14. You got to understand in Ezekiel, Ezekiel was a prophet. Ezekiel's name means God is strong. And that's Ezekiel's name. And he was a prophet. And the children of Israel had done a lot of bad stuff. They had done so many bad things. They had unrepentant sin. They sinned and never repented. Just kept going and going and going. Never repented. And it comes to a point. And God says to Ezekiel, I'm going to read this to you. And I wish I had more time to go into this. I'm going to read this to you. Ezekiel chapter 14, it says, in verse 12, it says, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when a land sins against me by committing a trespass, and I stretch out my hand against it, and break its staff of bread, and send famine upon it, and cut off from it man and beast. Sounds kind of mean, don't it? God says, you know what? If a land continues to sin, have you looked at the news lately? If a land continues to sin, look at verse 14. Even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would save but their own lives by their righteousness, says the Lord. Wait a minute. Wait, what's that say? Did you just hear what I said? They would only save themselves. Noah! He was a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter says he was a preacher of righteousness. He did intercessory prayer. He screwed up as a preacher. Did you know that? He preached for 100 years. It's going to fly. He built an ark for 100 years. It's going to fly. He only saved his 3 sons and their daughters and his wife. 8 people. In 100 years, he converted 8 people. 7, including himself. Kind of a bad, he'd be a bad preacher, wouldn't he? Right? Only 7 people in 100 years. He was a preacher of righteousness. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, read that, Mike. There's several places where God says, "Oh, thou beloved man, an angel, Gabriel, comes and says, dude, you are loved by God. You are flat out loved by God." He tells Daniel that. An angel from God. This guy's kind of pretty important, isn't he? See, my God really loves this guy. He prays intercessory prayers for the Israel. He says, my sins and their sins, God. In the book of Daniel, there is nothing written down that Daniel did wrong. Nothing. Job was upright. Read the book of Job. He says, all this stuff happened, and he didn't sin, did not charge it foolishly to God. So you got a guy, Noah. He's an intercessory prayer dude. You got a guy, Daniel, who's an intercessory prayer dude that goes into a den of lions and they don't eat him. That's a stop, right? And you got Job who goes through horrific life. God says, you know what? When a land sins against me and I get it to a point, and I said, you know what? I'm done. Even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they wouldn't save anybody but themselves. How important is your personal walk with God? Getting more important now, isn't it? Getting more important now. That's just a verse. It's just one verse. Well, let's read on. Verse 15. If I cause, the God's talking here, if I cause ferocious and evil wild animals to pass through the land and they ravage and bereave it and becomes desolate so that no man can pass through it. There's wild beasts so bad, you can't go there. Though these 3 men were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither sons. Oh my. They would deliver neither sons nor daughters. They themselves alone would be delivered, but the land would be desolate. Wow. That sounds kind of harsh, don't it? It sounds harsh. Well, that's 2 times. Okay. So how important is my personal walk with the Lord? Maybe a little more important now, thinking about, you know, because my parents were Christians, because my dad was a preacher, because whatever. I got a shoe in. No. No. You need a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ yourself. Let's go on. I know, I didn't like this. I've been reading this for months. No, I've been reading this for years. And I thought, how are you ever going to preach on that? Well, here we are. Okay, let's see. Verse 17. Or, if I bring a sword upon the land and say, sword, go cut through the land so that I cut off man and beast from it. Everybody's going to die. Kill them all. Though these 3 men were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they themselves alone would be delivered. Wow. There ain't no mercy here, guys. Verse 19, or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my wrath upon it in blood to cut it off from man and beast. God says, if I get mad, you get me upset. If I get mad, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters. They would but deliver their own lives by their righteousness. Wow. You know, you guys all have a point. You guys all have a breaking point. You ladies got a lot higher breaking point than us men, right? We all have a point, don't we? You know, you're created in God's image. God has a point. God has a breaking point. When he looks at the sins of a nation, when he looks at the sins of a people, and he looks at how depraved and terrible things get, there is a point. There is a point. We live pretty good here in the United States. Today's is in with June 16th, 2019, up to date, there has been 1,150 people killed in the world. To date, they figure it'll be a couple thousand every year is what they figure. 1,000 people to this point who have been killed because they refused to recant that they were a child of the Almighty God and they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. 1,000 people to date, just this year. We don't see that in the United States, do we? Ain't nobody coming that door. I ain't worried about anybody coming and killing me. Are you? No. I ain't worried about talking about something. You worry to talk about something, you talk about Jesus to somebody, you worried about how they're going to react or how they might be mad at you? I don't worry about them pulling a gun and shooting me, do you? I don't. You know, there's 1,000 people who died this year already for their faith. I don't know. I think about that sometimes. If someone, most of you don't remember Columbine High School, but there was a young woman there. The guy walked in and shot a guy, and he said, "Any Christians here?" And a young woman stood up and said, "I am." He shot and killed her. Would I have that much guts? Would you have that much? Would you love the Lord that much to say, "I'm a Christian, kill me"? Rough today, isn't it? But you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't that awesome? We got it backwards, don't we? We want to cling to everything we have in this life, hold on to it, and keep a hold of it, and don't let any of it go. But you know, to be in the presence of the Almighty God, all your aches and pains and be gone. All my troubles, gone. To be in the presence of God. Woo! Pate! Huh? Pate, right? Huh? And here we are, trudging through the mud. And loving it. I love going to work in the mud. I love it. It's great. See how stupid I am? Huh? I'm stupid. I could be in heaven walking on streets of gold. Woo! Huh? You see how important it is? A legacy. I guess that's the best word to use. We leave a legacy. Each and every one of you here, someone is going to remember you for doing something, saying something, being something to someone, each and every one here. You know that? What are they going to put on your tombstone? Here lies a real idiot. Huh? Told you I was sick! Huh? What are they going to put on your tombstone? When you sit down and think about it, take a few minutes this week and just sit down and think, you know, if I died today, what would be my legacy? Who would remember me? What have I done for the Lord Jesus Christ? It's going to be remembered. And as a dad, we can even take that one step further. As a mom, we can take that one step further. What are my kids going to remember me? What are they going to think of me when I'm dead and gone? Did I tell them I loved them enough? Did I give them hugs enough this week? Kind of makes you think, doesn't it? Because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. We're promised a home in heaven. Amen. Huh? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we humbly come before your throne this morning. Father, we've all had loved ones go on before. We know they're in heaven with you. Man, running through the streets of gold, praising and magnifying your name. Just loving it. And Father, we are so thankful. Someday, we will be there with them. Some sooner than later. We don't know. But Father, just keep us on our mind, our minds first and foremost on you. Father, just being sensitive to the leading of your Holy Spirit, the power that works in us. that we can praise and love you, and we can show that love. We can be a light. We say that a lot. We can be a light. We are a light. We want to show people who the living God really is. Oh, Father, I ask a special blessing upon the men of this church, Father, that you would just put your hand upon them. You would lead them. You would guide them. You would strengthen them. Father, you would show them your love and know that they have nothing to fear in this life. They're walking with you. Father, we just praise you and we thank you and we love you. Father, we thank you for being in our midst. We in your precious and your holy and your wonderful name we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The praise team wants to come forward. We've got a song for you this morning. If the elders want to come forward. Been doing a lot of praying this morning. That's a good thing, you know. It's a good thing to talk to the Lord. This is the time that we set aside every Sunday. If you need prayer for anything, if you want to be anointed with oil, hands laid on by the elders for health, whatever. These three men, Jesse, Les, Matthew, some men here for you.